He felt the Duke's stare on him the minute he walked into the room. Adam Drummond closed the double doors behind him quietly, so as not to alert the men at the front door. Tonight, Thomas was training one of the young lads new to the house. If they were alerted to his presence in the library, they would investigate. He had a story prepared for that eventuality. He couldn't sleep, which wasn't far from the truth. Nightmares often kept him from resting more than a few hours at a time. A good thing he had years of practice getting by with little sleep. He'd left his suite attired only in a collarless white shirt and black trousers. Another fact for which he'd have to find an explanation. As the majordomo of Marsley House, he was expected to wear the full uniform of his position at all times, even in the middle of the night. Perhaps not donning the white waistcoat, cravat and coat was an act of rebellion. Strange, since he'd never been a rebel before. It was this place, this house, this assignment that was affecting him. For the first time in 7 years, he hadn't borrowed a name or a history carefully concocted by the War Office. He'd taken the position as himself, Adam Drummond, Scot, and former soldier with Her Majesty's Army. The staff knew his real name, some even knew parts of his true history. The housekeeper called him Adam, knew he was a widower, was even aware of his birth date. He felt exposed, an uncomfortable position for a man who'd worked in the shadows for years. He lit one of the lamps hanging from a chain fixed to the ceiling. The oil was perfumed, the scent reminiscent of jasmine. The world of the Whitcombs was unique, separated from the proletariat by two things, the peerage and wealth. The pale yellow light revealed only the area near the desk. The rest of the huge room was in shadow. The library was ostentatious, a word he'd heard one of the maids try to pronounce.
"And what does it mean, I'm asking you?"
She'd been talking to one of the cook's helpers, but he'd interjected.
"It means fancy."
She'd made a face before saying,
"Well, why couldn't they just say fancy then?"
Because everything about Marsley House was ostentatious. This library certainly qualified. The room had three floors connected by a circular black iron staircase. The third floor was slightly larger than the second, making it possible for a dozen lamps to hang from chains affixed to each level at different heights. If he'd lit them all, it would have been bright as day in here, illuminating thousands of books. He didn't think the Whitcomb family had read every one of the volumes. Some of them looked as if they were new, the dark green leather and gold spines no doubt as shiny as when they'd arrived from the booksellers. Others were so well worn that he couldn't tell what the titles were until he pulled them from the shelves and opened them. There were a great many books on military history, and he suspected that was the late Duke's doing. He turned to look at the portrait over the mantel. George Whitcomb, 10th Duke of Marsley, was wearing his full military uniform, the scarlet jacket so bright a shade that Adam's eyes almost watered. The Duke's medals gleamed as if the sun had come out from behind the artist's window to shine directly on such an exalted personage. He wore a sword tied at his waist, and his head was turned slightly to the right, his gaze one that Adam remembered. Contempt shone in his eyes, as if everything the Duke witnessed was beneath him, be it people, circumstances, or the scenery of India. Adam was surprised that the man had allowed himself to be painted with greying hair. Even his mutton-chop whiskers were grey and brown. In India, Whitcomb had three native servants whose sole duties were to ensure the Duke's sartorial perfection at all times. He was clipped and coiffed and brushed and shined so that he could parade before his men as the ultimate authority of British might. His eyes burned out from the portrait, so dark brown that they appeared almost black, narrowed and penetrating.